Welcome back to another exciting episode of Extra Features Interview. Today we have a director whose film Night of the Axe is about 23 minutes long, but I love it. It's one of my favorite genres of horror, slasher. Sean Wright, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm good. Now I have you on record. Can I talk about this whole film and spoil it?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, great. So we can talk about everything. Awesome. Let's start at the very beginning. You obviously are a big horror fan. I would say, or at least slashers. I think you have to be the make one.
Yeah, obviously.
And I don't want you to get upset with me, so tell me if I'm wrong. I do see some sleepover camp, I'm getting it wrong already. With all the women sleepover at the place, and I got the wrong name.
Slumber Party Massacre.
Thank you. Slumber Party Massacre is definitely a big influence on this film. And I do see some of Friday the 13th Part 1.
Well, more part two, but yeah.
Part two. Okay, so I'm not wrong of what I'm looking for in influences here?
Right. Yeah, also The Town That Dreaded Sundown for the killer's look.
I haven't seen that one.
As well as Friday the 13th, too.
Okay.
It's just the bag over the head classic.
Couldn't figure out where that was coming from, so thank you for pointing that out to me. I'm like, I know I'm missing something with the bag over the head, but I have no idea because I haven't seen that film. So, when you were looking to do, I mean, you're doing a short film. Did you want to do a feature first? You said, nope, I have enough cash just to do this short. Because I think you have enough here to do a feature.
Yeah, I would have liked to do a feature to start with, but it's just, you know, it's such a big undertaking for your first thing. I wanted to start small, which is also why I wanted to do a slasher, because a slasher is one of the easier things to do for your first film, you know?
Well, you also got to do something you love.
Right. Yeah, I do love slashers.
I mean,
it's probably one of my top genres.
If you're doing romantic cinema, you're probably not making a slasher, if that's your thing.
Right.
So, I think you can fool me if I'm wrong here, or tell me if I'm fooled. You have two different house locations.
Yeah, we do have two house locations. It's supposed to be a different house location. The first one is a backyard. It's supposed to be a different house. It's a backyard in the first part of the film, the opening scene, and then we go to a different house for the later half of the film.
Yeah, because I wasn't sure, but when they come out onto the porch, I'm like, okay, it's got to be two different houses. I don't remember seeing a porch in the first scene.
Yeah, that one was a different house entirely. It was for the plot, too.
So who let you borrow their houses?
The first one was a friend's uncle, the guy who plays the killer, actually, his uncle. He's also the guy who gets killed. His uncle is the guy who gets killed in the beginning of the movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So he let us borrow his backyard for that. And then the main house was an Airbnb I rented.
I've discovered more and more during these interviews that most filmmakers do Airbnb now. Are you discovering that yourself?
I mean, it's definitely a good option because a lot of people aren't willing to let you use their house. So, you know, what are you going to do? You got to rent one, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, hopefully I'll have better luck in the future with finding a house now that I actually have something under my belt. So someone's like, oh, this guy's not just some weirdo, you know?
Well, that's always good. The uncle's wish you were bear shirt. Did you want to steal it?
Did I want to steal it?
I love that shirt. I really did.
Yeah, that was a great shirt. I'm glad he picked that. That was totally him. He just grabbed. That's just the shirt he was wearing. So I was like, yeah, perfect.
So how did you approach the uncle? Did you go, hey, we're doing a horror movie. You're going to get killed off. You okay with that? Or he just said, yeah, I'm in.
Yeah, he was pretty cool with it. I just, of course I asked my friend first if his uncle would be interested. And then I talked to his uncle because I actually, my day job, he used to come in because he used to be a vendor, and I, asked him if he was cool with it, and he was.
I want to discuss makeup effects at this point, because, I mean, this is the first time in the first scene we see intestines just pouring out of the side of the guy. And I think you do a lot of makeup effects throughout the film. I mean, obviously, when you're doing a slasher, you have a lot of makeup effects. How was working with that your first time?
It was pretty cool. I had my effects artist, Gary Williamson. He's he's just starting out himself, and he's very you know, he put a lot of work into all those great effects. And I wanted the effects to be a big part of the film, because obviously when you're making sort of a low-budget film, you want to impress people with it, you know? You want to show that you can do a lot with very little, you know what I mean?
Well, I think you do that in this film. I mean, I definitely don't think you have any down periods in your film. I definitely, maybe in the editing process, you took those out, but the film seems to be always moving.
Yes. Yeah, I pack a lot in those 22 minutes.
Yeah, did you have a longer cut at one point?
No, that was pretty much the whole thing. That was, I used pretty much every piece of footage I had.
Wow, okay. Now, we go to the girls' night, which is Slumber Party Massacre. I'm sure that was your plan the whole time there, which I was thinking. But I like that the girls had a conversation and seemed to know each other and have depth.
Yes, thank you. I tried to, I didn't want to just do like a slaughterhouse. It's just, you know, they have to get to know each other a little bit, just sort of pal around and stuff. You know, just your typical slasher tropes.
Well, they seemed real girls. Like, I mean, they didn't seem like, when you watch these films, they always have all these pretty girls and stuff. But your people seemed real. Like somebody I would just see on the street.
Well, yeah, they were real. They're mostly just my friends who I got to do this for me. So they're not professionals or by any means. They're just, you know, friends who wanted to be a part of this. Same with most of the crew, too. No one really had any real experience in this beforehand, but we all just sort of banded together and made something.
So maybe we should talk about that, but you have no experience as a director. Your crew really has no experience. So how did you go around to decide, hey, I'm going to make a film, and I need this, I need that, I need you to do this? How do you get to that point?
Well, I was just tired of living my day-to-day life, you know, working my dead-end job, which, you know, I still am, but I'm making moves to, you know, try to make a living out of this. But I just got tired of it. I decided, you know, it's something I've been thinking about for, you know, a good chunk of my life. I'm just like, you know, I'm finally going to do it. I mean, I'm not doing anything else, right? So I just got some people, some friends who are interested, and, you know, got my feelers out on the internet and got some other people involved. And here we are. We have, one short done, another on the way, and then I'm working on the Night of the Axe full length too.
Oh, excellent. I thought there might be something in there. Being a first-time director, what was the hardest part for you to learn? Editing? Because, I mean, nothing personal. There are some choppy edits in here, and I think you would absolutely agree with me on that.
Yeah, I'd agree.
That's not a fault in the film. I just expect it. I'm like, ooh, that's a little rough. But that was okay.
Yeah, everything really is a little hard when you're first starting out. Coaching act dialogue scenes is a little rough because, you know, it's hard to make people seem natural. You know, with some more time and experience, I could probably get it down, but it's just a little hard. I actually didn't have a lot of trouble with the special effects stuff. That was pretty straightforward. It's all just camera tricks. But, because I'm sort of I'm a non-confrontational kind of person, too. It's a little harder for me to, you know, direct. But hopefully with some time, I'll get over that and get myself in a full-on director mode, you know?
Yeah, the girls at one point are doing drugs and alcohol. Did you feel that was something that had to be there? Or have they just been having a pizza or playing Nintendo? Or did the drugs and alcohol were a major part of it just because that's part of the genre?
It's sort of the genre, and, you know, they're just having fun, hanging out. And, of course, it's not real drugs and alcohol.
Well, no, I...
But, yeah. They're just having fun. I don't know. In my mind, that's what kids do for fun. No. I play video games and eat pizza, but everyone else, I don't know. Everyone's different, I guess. That's just what I had, what would be more interesting for people to watch. You know.
So these being your friends, were they a little more confrontational than you thought would they be reading their dialogue or discussing their dialogue with you? Like, I don't want to say that or anything. Did that come up?
No, not really. They all pretty much just went along with more or less everything dialogue wise.
And how was working with blood, creating blood, using blood?
It's pretty simple stuff. I mean, you mix it up, you... it can be... Yeah, actually, we did have a fire extinguisher set up. We were pumping blood through a fire extinguisher for some of the kills, so that was pretty interesting.
See, I knew there was more stuff here I could find. So, did you have different... Well, your killer at this point uses an axe pretty much most of the time. He does use a frying pan, which I quite enjoyed. I did like the cook scene. Did you have another weapon in mind when you first started writing, or was it always an axe?
I probably would have originally gone with maybe more variety of weapons, but I don't know. None of the axes sort of rolls off the tongue. And I do like axes. I always thought they're cool. They, you know, the axe is always one of the most fearsome looking weapons. So I figured that's probably, and then, you know, I break it up a little bit with like the frying pan. And, I just had the frying pan and the axe. Yeah.
Actually,
there was a slip throw too. Yeah.
There was well, he chokes her out almost at one point.
Yeah. Yeah.
When she fights back. I found your film had a little bit of issues with lighting at times. Did you have that challenge as a director? Especially the bathroom scene. I'll discuss the one scene I want to discuss the lighting the most. How were you having issues lighting it, or am I just reading this wrong?
You know what? You're the first person to bring up the lighting, really. I mean, I guess it is a little dark in the bathroom, a little orangey.
That's what I'm finding.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's hard to light a bathroom. So we didn't have a lot of trouble lighting, as my guys, they did a lot of light maneuvering. They changed a lot of light bulbs. Yeah, it was a little, they went a little overboard at times, but I mean, I guess I can understand. That's, you know, the cinematographer's job to, I think Lloyd Kaufman said it in his book, they twiddle around with lights far beyond the point where you think it looks good, you know? Yeah,
it's true.
But yeah, the bathroom scene, I mean, it looks like a bathroom.
It does. You know,
I mean, that's probably the hardest, that probably was the hardest room to light.
Okay.
But, you know, when you're making a movie like this, you just sort of kind of, you know, you know, do what you can do with it, you know?
No, I had no issues. I'm just discussing things that came up while I was watching it on my notes.
Yeah.
I also want to discuss, you have nudity in your film, which quite surprised me. I did not expect that.
Yes, I am. Well, in the 80s slasher genre, I just wanted to go all in, so.
So how did you coax her? She was like, no problem, I'll do this.
Yeah, it's just, basically it just gets down to, you know, through friends of friends, finding the person who's fine with this sort of thing. You know, so basically you get that person, and then they're fine with that. So that's all it really comes down to. It's just sort of like through friends of friends. She herself, she was fine with it at the time, you know. So, I mean, it's not like I had to really coax her or convince her.
No, I was just wondering, because you just show her the script and go, hey, we need you to get naked in the shower. I just want you to know that.
Yeah, she was already aware of that before she signed on, if you will.
Okay, your final shot in the backyard, is that just a setup for the big feature-length film? Because, I mean, is this going to be like a prequel to the next one, or is this going to be included in the feature film you're telling me about?
So the feature film I was intending to do mostly as a sequel. I was going to sort of, like, part of, like, feature film, I was going to start it off with before a little bit before the events of the short, and then I was going to redo the backyard scene, and then I was going to jump to what happens after the short.
Okay.
So it's it could be pretty cool.
Yeah, no issues. So in getting your crew organized, did you do a Facebook funding? Like, how did you get your funding for your film?
I mostly funded it myself, but I also had some help from two of my friends. You know, the guy who played the killer, he helped fund it a little bit, and my main composer, editor, sound guy, he also helped me out with funding. But pretty much everyone was volunteer. Actually, everyone was volunteer. So everyone volunteered, so I never really had to pay anyone. Oh, most of the money went towards the house and the effects.
So I think we don't want to short shrift your music by Eric Hodges. I quite liked it.
Yes, it is excellent.
I think he's got very distinct sound at times. I think he gets it. I guess is the best way I can explain it. I did quite enjoy his music.
Yes, that is one of the definitely one of the strong points of the film.
So, did you have any fun filming this? Like, did you say, "Wow, this is great"? I mean, obviously, you've done more stuff after this. I mean, at the time, were you feeling good when you were finished, or like, "Oh my God, what have I done"?
I felt pretty good. You know, it's always a mix because you never, you always see the faults with it because you made it. So you always see like the minor things you could have done differently. But overall, yeah, I definitely had fun doing it. It was an experience, and I was having a lot of fun.
Being a first time filmmaker, how did you organize your catering?
My catering, we ordered pizza.
That's it.
That was our catering for this one. I had some soda and some pizza and some water. That's pretty much it for this one. For future full length stuff, I'll probably go with like sandwiches and stuff like that. For this one, it was just the filming schedule was pretty quick. We pretty much did 2 weekends for the bulk of it. And then the scene in the backyard was like a 1 day shoot, like a month later.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So it was pretty much just, it was pretty rapid fire there.
So your film is finished. Did you send it to short film festivals? Did you send it or just show it locally? What did you do with it?
Well, I released it on DVD. I put it on for free on Vimeo. And I did submit it to a couple festivals. Pretty much all of them but one were just indifferent to it. The one, the Independent Horror Film Awards, I won a couple awards from that, including the Best Gore. It was Best Gore, I won Best Kill. And I think I was nominated for Best Atmosphere and Best Nudity or something like that.
Ain't nothing wrong with more awards. It all looks good on a box. So hang on, I want to back this up. You released this on DVD.
Yes, I did. I did release the DVD. So,
how did you sell it? Was it Facebook? Was it Amazon? Where is this DVD found?
I mostly sold it in person. I did, you know, my Facebook page. I sold some through there and just online in general. I sold a bunch through Instagram and stuff, you know, but the sales sort of dwindled down a little bit. But, you know, I did sell a decent couple copies, you know, maybe 100 copies.
That's so it's not great. That bad. I'm awesome. I think that's fabulous. And especially if you make a feature length, they're going to need that one too. So there you go. So I'll do them at the same time.
Yep. And I was going to do a double feature when my next short comes out. I was hoping to put that out next month.
Well, that's great. Well, you can come back for your next feature. We won't discuss it here, I promise. So now it's time for some fun questions, if you're ready.
Yep.
Your favorite film?
My favorite film in general, horror.
Whatever you want to discuss.
Well, let's see. The Thing is probably my favorite horror film. The Thing, let's see. I think about these things, and then when you ask me the question, I'm on the spot.
One film you should have seen and never have.
One film I should have seen and never have. Oh, man. I haven't seen... Man, I pretty much... Oh, I'm drawing a blank here. Give me 1 second. What should I have seen?
You haven't?
Yeah. Let me get my girlfriend's opinion. She's always better at this than I am.
Okay, fine.
In general or horror?
Horror.
Oh, I don't know.
In general, it's fine.
In general works, too.
I don't know. Because I've made you watch all the movies that you should see.
Well, then there's nothing. That's your answer.
Then there's nothing. No, you know what? I've never seen The Godfather. People are like, oh, a filmmaker has to see The Godfather, right?
Yeah, but you're a horror fan. I can see why you haven't seen The Godfather. I get that. The last film you saw in theaters?
Last film I saw in theaters was, let's see, I saw...
It's The Lighthouse.
Oh, The Lighthouse. I saw The Lighthouse on Halloween.
Okay, that's a little while ago. Halloween, that's October.
Yeah, no, I haven't been to a movie since then in the theaters.
Fair enough. Tell everybody where they can find your film.
You can find my film on Vimeo. You can, if you just Google Night of the Axe Shaun Wright, it'll come right up. And keep an eye out for my next short. You follow me on Faith Melt Features on Facebook and Faith Melt Films on Twitter. Also on Instagram, find me Heavy Metal Horror. Just all those things, and you can keep up with what I'm doing. Hoping to put the new short out next month, and then full length sometime this year.
Great. Thank you for your time. Have a great evening.
You too. Thank you.
Hey, I just want to say thank you for listening to this great interview. We have more on our website at www.extrafeatures.ca. And if you enjoyed it, can you please go to iTunes and leave us an iTunes review and like us on our Facebook page? Thank you.